Well, this is Delhi Sultanate alongside Daddy Dread and DJ Rebel. Collaboration, where I say, man?
New Delhi.
All Indian ragamuffin.
Hey, yeah, a revolutionary outlaw.
New Delhi. Hey,
your master, you don't know, we just can't take them politician no one. We born to kill, yeah. I say, politician.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Delhi Sultanate, lyrical art stepper. Mic checker, sound record, upbeat maker. Lyrical action lights, a man, a lyrical life taker. Never did like the government have me under pressure. Return of the maca, WikiLeaks hacker. A bully pa doppler, than me a bully pa chopper. Too many New Delhi man, them is a big name dropper. Go Congo, kill them, send them to the mama and papa. Proper. Rude boy music, man, no country cracker. Indian chaka, Zulu, lyrical chop shatter. Musical gunshotter, make corrupt brains splatter. The water, them put the dead up and scatter. Salva Jurum, them put the dead up and scatter. Boya Commando, put the dead up and scatter. TRPF, them put the dead up and scatter. The water, them politician, get the ratatatatatatatatatatata.
We keep it crisp, we keep it shine. When they all and the youth, them come by.
Hey, 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 time, them crazy.
We keep it crisp, we keep it shine. God forbid them start years up in line.
That was the sound of Delhi Sultanate, some conscious reggae coming out of India. I'm Tara Darabji. You're tuned into Apex Express, coming at you with an Asian and Pacific Islander point of view from the Bay and around the world. Tonight I'm joined in studio by Delhi Sultanate. He's going to be busting out some music and raising up some social justice issues this Sunday at the Elbow Room in San Francisco. Welcome to Apex Express on KPFA.
Welcome. Greetings to everyone.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming through. It's great to meet you, and I've been digging your music. It definitely makes me want to get my boogie on, and I dig it because it's really ripping out on some hard-hitting issues, you know? And as a reggae singer, how come you've been compelled to really bring social justice into your movement and your work?
Well, I think that's kind of intrinsic to reggae music. Reggae music has always dealt with the colonial experience, has always dealt with injustice. So what we're trying to do is just represent that tradition in India.
And how did you get going on it?
Well, it's a long story. I actually spent part of my life growing up outside. I was in Europe for a few years. I was even in the Bay Area and just was involved with musical movements here. Like at the time, hip-hop was a strong kind of influence on me as a kid, and even reggae music was just coming up. It was a pretty strong subculture in Europe.
And in terms of where did your consciousness come from in terms of oppression and really seeing the issues and how they're going down, and why did you want to get involved in terms of transforming communities and making the global connections as well?
Right. I think it comes from two things. One, when I was living in Germany, suddenly you find yourself being part of a group that's being discriminated against. And you realize that your history is not really featured in mainstream history, not in history books, and it's not reflected in popular culture as well. So we were looking for things. And I think that both reggae music and hip-hop kind of have dealt with the colonial experience and pushed forward an alternate version of history. And that sensitizes you in a certain way. And suddenly it gives you a vocabulary to express your own experience with. And I would say the same in India. I moved back to India about 10 or 12 years ago, and it's very evident that there are a lot of things which are hidden from the surface, which are not presented in mainstream news, which are not reflected in mainstream culture or music. There are a lot of musical traditions which are revolutionary, but you will not hear them on the radio. There are a lot of things which I find very difficult to live with, you know? I mean, if there's gross injustice going on in the society that you live in, at some point you have to ask yourself, at what point is this line crossed where you become culpable for not doing anything, you know?
Absolutely. It's day to day, right? I mean, I think we are all sort of waging that every day. And what do you think are some of the biggest issues in India right now? You're in Delhi?
I'm in Delhi, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Delhi is supposed to be one of the most dangerous cities in the world for women, I've heard.
Yeah, I would say so, for sure. I mean, it's so many things, you know? Delhi is so many things, and there's so many issues in India at the moment. I wouldn't even know where to start or how to sum it up. I mean, I think one thing that one can say is I feel that it's very much a kind of neo-colonial, very brutal regime that's being run, where a minority benefits immensely, but the majority is completely excluded from this growth and is being brutalized. I mean, there's a low-intensity war that's going on in India. Dissent is crushed. Like, people are killed, people get arrested. Mm-hmm. For nothing, on trumped up charges in the tribal areas, it's just unimaginable. I mean, the kind of atrocities that are being committed there, if something, I mean, you know, I can go on and on about this. There's something called strategic hamleting, where whole villages are vacated. This is a strategy that originated in the Vietnam War. So as a, you know, similar to everywhere else in the world, as a kind of under the garb of counterterrorism, the state is heavily crushing down on dissent. And in my opinion, what's really behind this is to kind of help corporate interests getting at land. It's all about land. It's the same as in the colonial era. It's about mineral wealth and exploiting labor power, you know?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I know that you, as part of the Scavengers, were doing a show inside of India's largest jail. So talk to us about
Correct.
That. Yeah, that's huge. I mean, how hard was it to get in there? What type of reception did you get? And what was the energy you laid down? Like, break it down for
us. It was a very unique experience. I'm really grateful, actually, we got a chance to play in there. It was amazing. It was, you know, 1,500 prisoners. For me, it was twofold. Also because they had never heard reggae music or ska music before. You have to understand that in India, this music is not popular at all. People don't really know it, you know?
Yeah, like it's most, just breaking out right now.
I mean, most people's cultural orientation is, if not Indian, then it's towards Europe and America. And we make a very conscious decision. Our cultural orientation is Jamaica. They were a British colony as well. Mm-hmm. So for me to be able to represent that tradition in India and then more so to represent it amongst prisoners, you know, felt very special to me. Was a good response. I mean, one of the group members had spent some time in Tihar kind of teaching people music. Mm-hmm. And just, Tihar is actually not such a bad jail, relatively speaking. I must say, like, a lot of Indian prisons are horrendous, but I would say Tihar is probably much better than the average American prison. Like, they're actually about rehabilitation and teaching people, you know, giving people skills and music and trying to, their dark sides to it as well. But, so my friend realized, Stefan K, he's a keyboard player, he realized that one should do a lot to kind of improve the music equipment available to prisoners. So we got a whole bunch of equipment donated and we were allowed to hold a concert there. It was a good response. I mean, you know, prison life is very boring, you know, so people were grateful and kind of really appreciated the fact that we were there.
And did they respond to some of the underlying social justice themes in the music and come up to you? And
Some did come up to us. And some, you know, the thing is they were not allowed to dance, you know. Every now and then.
There's a no dancing rule?
There is. In some parts of India, there is. Actually, I think in Tihar, they were just scared that things would kind of get out of hand because there's so many people bunched up in one place. But they did, you know, individual people were kind of allowed to get up and they started breaking up, which was very gratifying for us to see. They responded well. I mean, I must say that some of the more explicit content we kept down a little bit because we were guests of the jail authorities. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a bit in bad taste if the police invites you to play. You know, so we do our thing, we don't compromise, but wanted to be a bit discreet.
In terms of your message and your music, have you faced backlash or any type of repression or even people not wanting to produce you because of the message of your music?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
talk to us about it.
Well, I run two projects. One project is called Word Sound Power, where we go around and collaborate with revolutionary singers in India. And the fact is that there are people, we're very lucky. You know, there's a group called Kabir Kalamansh from Pune. They're singers. They could just got branded as terrorists and they're underground. They're hiding, you know, because they know that if they come out, they'll get arrested. And these guys are musicians. They're not involved in any kind of insurgency.
But it can happen just like that with
happen.
Your message. And then you got to pull out and go
We're protected hiding. Because we're a little bit more in the public light, you know.
Yeah.
And also because we're in the city, we're all English speaking. Mm-hmm. There's a class divide, you know. Like people
Absolutely.
Who do not speak English, the state can do anything with them and they do. And with us, they're a bit more careful. I do think that one is being watched, you know, definitely. Like the Indian government is very efficient at kind of repressing people. So I do think one is being watched. And some of the people that we're working with, you know, have been attacked or have even been shot at by police. With Scavengers, anyway, what I actually wanted to say is that music we put out for free.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to pass it with the censor board. And we kind of bypass that whole.
So if you want to get paid at all, you have to go through the censor board?
If you want to put out, I think with music, it's a little bit better. With films, and we make documentaries as well, you have to technically pass it by the censor board. And they're very tricky. I mean, everyone who's making documentaries in India knows what the situation is. But we're lucky we have, it's a trust, you know. Word Sound Power is a trust, so we kind of bypass that whole commercial process and just release it for free. With the Scavengers, it's a different story. We have not faced any backlash, but our album was meant to come out earlier this year with Universal Records. And initially, they were very enthusiastic because we, you know, cultivated a relatively large following in the meantime. But after 3 months, suddenly they woke up to the lyrical content and they were like, we'll only put this out if you allow us to censor the lyrics without asking you and without telling you what we're going to censor, you know? So obviously we pulled out of that equation. That's why the album is not out yet. It's a bit short-sighted. I think now they regret it because after that, the jail gig happened and we kind of got a lot more publicity still.
Yeah, I saw it in the BBC and everywhere. So you're busting out and that's coming out. You know, this reggae social justice movement coming out of India.
For sure.
It's huge. And tell us a little bit, we, you know, have only a few more minutes, but tell us a little more about the word Sound Power and just what some of the projects have been that you've worked on.
Well, I can tell you about the project that we're working on currently. It's called the Blood Earth Project. What we did is we went to a tribal area in the jungles of Orissa and collaborated with...
And Orissa was where there was a huge...
Well, it's everywhere, really, you know. The thing is, there's this large forest called Dandakarnia, where the insurgency, the guerrilla movement, is also located there. It stretches from Chhattisgarh to Orissa to many states of India. The thing is that it's not a coincidence that there's an insurgency happening there because the land is very rich. It's very rich in mineral resources. So you have American, Indian companies from all over the world kind of there. And we worked with the local population that was resisting mining. You know, they basically had their land taken away from them and waged a long, like, 20-year struggle to kind of keep their land and got completely brutalized and crushed. But they produced some very powerful, beautiful songs that were part of that movement. So we went to collaborate with them and to make a documentary on the struggle there and the singers. And this is scheduled to come out July 20th. We'll probably run some pre-screenings when I'm in New York, you know, early next month.
Nice. And where can people just, like, follow this, hear more if they want to hear? There's a website for it.
There's a website. It's currently under construction. You can go to wordsoundpower.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the songs on YouTube and on Facebook, as everywhere, you know, as always. But Word Sound Power, the music is available for free download as well.
Awesome.
And there's a SoundCloud too. So
right on. And then, so Dele Sultanet, you're going to be at the Elbow Room this Sunday.
Correct.
Yeah, so give us the whole deal on it.
Well, I'm doing a show with Emsh from Subatomic Sound System. Mm-hmm. Emsh had been in India, I think 2010 or 2011, did a little India tour, and we did a show together in Delhi, and then went on to collaborate on a tune, which is called NYC to India, which kind of deals with the whole opium trade, opium smuggling, which was on a rhythm that he had earlier used for an Anthony B song. And that song did pretty well. It was a number one on Beatport for a while. So ever since then, there's been a strong relationship with Subatomic Sound System. And so he's kind of helped organize this little three-city tour, like we're doing San Francisco on the 27th, and then LA, and then New York.
Okay, in the belly of the beast. So, okay, yeah. What do you hope to get out of it? I saw that one of your posters. You're like, I'm in the belly of the beast, you know? So we meet in Babylon. What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Like, reggae music is the people's news, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel honored that it travels, you know, I traveled from Jamaica to India. Now I have the privilege to be back here and tell people what's going on in India and to represent our Indian, you know, kind of version here for people. So I'm here to build links and coalitions.
Beautiful. So people can come on out this Sunday night at the Elbow Room. I think what starts at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, something like that. Goes to 1 a.m. post carnival, a little bit of party, you know, get a little bit of that consciousness going on too. Right on. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and we'll go out with a little bit of your tune. And I'm Tara Darabji for Apex Express.
Bam bam, Indian army, bam bam, inna the city, bam bam, man inna the jungle, bam bam, RDX a bam bam, IED a bam bam, shatter the dream with bam bam, bam bam, bam bam. So your PF could rape your daughter, some youths with a balaclava, ready to come and unleash the lava. Kashmir look like Gaza, it's a intifada, check post pandifada, and encounter cops like DG Van Zara. Too many youths, them turning a martyr, things get out of hand. We need real changes, not just like Obama. Black skin, white mask, like the one Franz Fana. The one Franz Fana.